My brothers and sisters, what is the absolute most certain knowledge that a person can have? What is the field of knowledge that gives us the truth in such a way that we cannot doubt its veracity? Is it historical knowledge? The knowledge that we get from history, where we can look back and point to a certain time, a location, and said, that really happened. There's documents that have been handed on, they all agree, that is a fact. Is it mathematical knowledge? The precision that math gives us, where it cannot be confuted that 2 + 2 = 4. Or philosophy. You know, I loved studying philosophy. The very first course a person takes as they pursue the love of wisdom is logic. And you have these syllogisms in logic that say, and we're all familiar with this, if A, then B. And if B, then C. Therefore, if A, then C. It's totally irrefutable. Or the knowledge from science, where something's been proven over and over and over again. You say, well, gosh, it must be correct. My brothers and sisters, what is the absolute most certain field of knowledge? It is the knowledge that we have by faith. Because faith comes directly from God Himself. God who is trustworthy. God who is the source of all knowledge. God who is true and cannot lie. The knowledge that we have from faith is the most certain knowledge that we could ever possess. How many of you would die for mathematics? Or for science? Or for history? If someone said, no, that didn't really happen. You know, you might argue a little bit, but would you give your life for it? Would you give your life for the faith? Why? Because in the depths of your soul, you know that is real. And I believe it like I believe nothing else in my life. And this is why the church celebrates the martyrs. You know, one of my favorite martyrs, and I try to be careful not to be too gruesome, and I'll only share certain details. St. Maximus the Confessor, a doctor of the church, he lived in the East in the 5th and 6th century. There was a heresy that was being spread that said, Jesus is not really God. He's not divine. And so he would preach out against this, he would publish documents, he would try to spread this everywhere. No, they're wrong. He got exiled from his country on 4 separate occasions, but every time he'd sneak back in and they could not silence him. So finally, what'd they do? They cut off his hand so he could no longer write, and they cut out his tongue so he could not preach anymore. He died a martyr of the faith because he said, the faith is so important that I would give my life for it. St. Paul said in the second reading today, you are saved through faith. Salvation is yours because you believe. And it's a gift from God, the most precious gift a person could ever receive. Okay, so if it's the most certain knowledge because it's revealed by God Himself, why do many people think it is the least certain knowledge? You know, young people say, are you kidding? You believe that stuff? You know, that's juvenile. Why don't you learn to think for yourself? Gosh, that's irrational. I remember one time I was studying in Vermont. I had a summer where I was studying Italian. And I'd just been ordained a deacon. So I was 9 months away from being ordained a priest. And once a man is ordained a deacon in preparation for the priesthood, he's able to start wearing his clerics. He can be publicly known as a cleric. And so I was wearing my clerics. I made a promise to God that I would always wear them for the witness of it. And I'm walking along one day, I just come out of the library, walking back to the room in which I was staying, and this elderly gentleman says, oh, hey, father, do you have a minute? And I said, oh, yeah, sure. And because he said father, I presumed, okay, here's a Catholic man. Then he shared with me that he was 84 years old. And he says, father, can I ask you a question? Now, if you ran into a priest randomly, what would be the first question you would ask him? This is what this man said. He said, father,
Where did you study theology?
And I, gosh, that's a strange question. Right? Where's this going? I said, I've been studying in Rome. I've had the great privilege of being educated right at the heart of the church. And he looks at me and says, oh, you're one of those. And I said, I'm sorry? He says, you know what I'm talking about. And I said, no, really, I don't. He said, you know, the kind who believe everything the church teaches. And I said, well, actually, yes, sir, I do believe everything the church teaches. I said, can I ask you, are you a Catholic man? Darn right. Been Catholic my whole life, 84 years old. I said, do you believe everything the church teaches? Are you kidding me? God gave me a mind of my own. I'm not going to tell anyone how to use, let anyone tell me how to use it, much less the church. Why do many people believe the knowledge of faith is the least certain knowledge? Because it cannot be reasoned to. You know, anyone, you can study philosophy, you can look around the world and you can say, you know, I'm pretty sure there is a God. There couldn't be such order in the universe. There probably is a being who created all of this. But we couldn't reason to the truth that God is a Trinity. We could never say, oh my gosh, I bet God is love. That comes from revelation. No one would come to Mass who was not an educated Catholic and say, you know that bread and wine? I think that's probably Jesus' body and his blood. No, our Lord shared that with us. The Immaculate Conception is something that is taught, but many people think that since it cannot be reasoned to, therefore it's unreasonable, or it's irrational to think such a thing. But my brothers and sisters, it's the opposite. It's not that the truths of faith are irrational, it's that they surpass our reason. That they go beyond what we can know naturally. It's supernatural knowledge that God gives to us for the sake of our salvation. It is the most reasonable knowledge because it comes from God Himself, the source of all knowledge. My brothers and sisters, what is the teaching of the church that is most denied in the times that we live in? It is that our Lord Jesus Christ came to found a church. And not just that He came to found a church, but that He would found a church that would be preserved from all error. That the Holy Spirit would so guide that the gates of hell could never prevail against it. That the followers could trust the church. How many Catholics still believe that today? Sad to say, very, very few. And yet, that's the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything I just said about the church came from His mouth. But many people want Jesus without the church. Oh yeah, sure, yeah, gosh, Jesus is the Savior and He's great. Yeah, I believe in Him. But the church, really? My brothers and sisters, why do we need the church? Why would our Lord found a church? Some of you might have been here a couple of months ago. We had one of the most well-known and greatest apologists. An apologist is a defender of the faith. He's a lay man with 11 children, a married man. And he came and spoke here. And he gave an analogy that I'd never heard before that I thought was brilliant. He said this. He said, imagine if you were reading something that someone had written a long time ago, and you came upon this line, and they were addressing it to another, and the line said this, I do not think that you stole the money. How would you read that line? How many different ways could that one line be interpreted? You could say,
I do not think that you stole the money. But you know, your neighbors sure do. You're actually, even your wife believes it. Or, I do not think that you stole the money. I know you. You're trustworthy. I believe you. Perhaps, I do not think that you stole the money. I know it. My buddy, I saw you do it. I do not think that you stole the money. But you know what? I got to tell you, it was your kids. I do not think that you stole the money. I know that you borrowed it. I've been friends with you for years. I don't think you stole the money, but I'm a little worried about the jewelry. One line with all these different interpretations. We have a Bible with thousands and thousands of lines. Who can say what it means? Who is allowed to give an authentic interpretation that said that is what our Lord meant when he said those words? Jesus said to Peter, "On you I will build my church." Every church that is founded, every Christian church who breaks away from the authority and the interpretation of the popes all down through the ages, someone has to claim that they have the authority to interpret the Bible. Someone has to become the pope of that church. Our Lord founded one church. And we are its members. This incredible gift that he has given us. And my brothers and sisters, we live in an age in which the church is and will be greatly persecuted. We read this every day in the papers. My parents, a week ago, they were back in New York. They open up the New York Times. They're flipping through. They get to the back page. There is an entire page ad that someone had purchased for, I think it was a week long, that said, "Hey, liberal Catholics, you finally have your opportunity to jump ship." It's only going to get worse. It's not time to jump ship. It's the time to cling to our faith. The church is the bride of Christ. No one else truly knows him like she does. We ask for the grace to always be faithful. And if we're struggling with some aspect of the faith, let's take the time to research it. Let's find out, gosh, why does the church teach this? And if we're struggling to see it, if we can't reason towards it, let's make the act of faith. And then our Lord will give us sight. I close with these words of our Savior today. "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." We've all been given the gift of sight. Our Lord reveals that it can be lost. When we do not see, let's put our trust in him that we might see.